I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in this final gospel service. In the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 13. Luke's Gospel chapter 13. We're just going to read a few verses in the opening passage of this part of God's Word. We're going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want Him to speak to each and every one of our hearts this evening. Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 13. Commencing to read at verse number 1. And if you haven't your Bible with you, then if somebody's sitting beside you and they've got theirs, just say, the preacher says, I've got to look on. And just follow the Scriptures. And of course, if you haven't got a Bible near you, then he that hath ears to hear, the Bible says, let him hear. And may God help us to hear to the salvation of precious souls. Luke's Gospel chapter 13, commencing at verse number 1. And can I say thank you to your minister? I don't spend a long time in saying these things because I realize there's something very special on the final night of a mission. But I'd like to thank the Reverend Mr. Park and his good wife and family and the family here, the elders and church family of this congregation, for the privilege they've given to me to come and share with you in the gospel. It's been a pleasure to be here, an opportunity to preach the gospel, and that's the greatest privilege any man can ever enjoy, is to open the book of God and to preach Christ. And I pray that God will bless His people here and that the Lord will add to the church daily such as should be saved. And God's able to do that. And we just look to the Lord even tonight for the glorification of His precious name. Luke's Gospel chapter 13 and the verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word, for Jesus' sake, amen. God has given me the privilege this past 2 weeks to stand in this pulpit and to preach the word of God in this town of Ballymoney. And now we have come to the final service of this gospel mission. I know that every meeting in a gospel meeting or mission is very important, is very solemn. But I realize and appreciate just how solemn is this moment. The final gospel meeting of a gospel mission. Men and women standing at the crossroads of life and even of eternity itself. And therefore I believe there's a solemn responsibility upon the preacher to preach the word of God. Forget about frivolous things and just simply bring men and women once again to the infallible book of God and present the gospel of redeeming grace to their soul. Night after night we have sought to preach the cross. Bring men and women to the place where Jesus shed His precious blood and died. The only hope for sinners. We have presented the blood of Christ as the power that God's Word says is able to cleanse us from all sin. Thank God there's power in the blood of Christ to cleanse the vilest sinner in this meeting from the darkest and vilest sin. We have warned men and women of the judgment of God and of that day when man will stand before God and the books of God are opened. We have told you about God's heaven for the saved, but we have earnestly sought to tell you about God's hell for those that are without Christ. And I thank God for the privilege of having the opportunity of preaching here for these past 2 weeks. But that privilege is coming to an end, because God has given me one final gospel opportunity in this gospel mission. And I want to be faithful to your soul, and I want to preach Christ. I want to tell you of the only answer for your sin. Many years ago, the story's told of a rich attorney, solicitor in the city of New York.
And this young man was speaking at a rescue mission in New York City. He recalled that when he was 24 years of age, he married a beautiful young woman. But friends, sadly, it was an unequal yoke. He was verging on being an atheist, and she professed faith in Jesus Christ. But of course, they got married, and from then on, that young man said that he gloried in this fact, that in his atheistic belief, he would seek to undermine and destroy his wife's faith in Jesus Christ. God blessed their home with a little baby, a lovely little girl. Mother would take the little girl to Sunday school and take her to church and seek for the teacher God's way of salvation. Daddy did everything that he possibly could to undermine everything that mother would seek to do. And so the years passed, and this little young baby, this little girl, grew up until she was into a young, charming young lady. When it came to the Lord's Day, Mother would encourage her still to come with her to the house of God. Dad would seek to have different things on, different appointments, different arrangements, different outings that would persuade her to go with him. And so finally, naturally because of her sin, she took her daddy's way. Came to the day of the Lord, and she would no longer be found in God's house. She had no time for the things of God. When she was 20 years of age, that young girl was engaged to be married. And her dad told the story to the rescue mission. He said, you know, when she got engaged, she went out and she went with her friends out in a boat for to have a time, a vacation, a boating vacation in Pennsylvania. One foolish young man stood up in that boat and to try and make himself important. He started to row rock the boat from side to side until finally the boat capsized and threw those young people into the icy waters of that lake. They were strong swimmers. They were able to make it to the shore. Because they were young, you see, they didn't need to stop. And so they just, as it were, brushed themselves down and decided to continue on for the rest of the day, even though they had been thrown into icy waters of the lake. Sad to say, that young woman took pneumonia. And sad to say, she came to the place. Instead of going to the wedding altar, she would soon be going to the grave. She was lying there in her sickness, and she was stepping out into God's eternity, and she was coming to the end of the journey. She was approaching death. Her dad was standing by her side. She looked up into the face of her daddy, sobbing. And she said, Daddy, I don't want to die. Daddy, I don't want to die. There was nothing Dad could do because death was coming close. And then she raised her voice a little and she said, Daddy, you've been saying all along that there was no need to worry about religion. That if I did what was right, heaven would take care of itself. She says, Mommy disagreed with you, Daddy. And Mommy constantly told me, I needed Jesus as my Savior. Then she looked up into her daddy's face with a longing, broken heart, and she said these words, Daddy, now that I'm dying, please, Daddy, tell me which way I should go. Mother's way? Yours. The father was telling the story, friend. And he said he stooped down and he lifted his lovely young 20-year-old girl into his arms and he pressed her close to his breast and he whispered into her ear these words, Darling, if you have a moment to spare, for Christ's sake, for your own sake, for your mommy's sake and your hard-hearted daddy's sake, take mommy's way. He said, you know, when I had said that, I lowered her back into the bed. But when I lowered back into the bed, my daughter was gone. And with tears in his eyes and breaking heart, he said this, only God knows whether my darling had enough time to take her mother's way. Men and women, God has been given you time. God has been giving you opportunity. 2 weeks we've been standing night after night in this pulpit presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I beg you, men and women, with all the love of my soul, if you're hearing the voice of God tonight, I beg you, young woman, I beg you, mother, I beg you, dad, I beg you, young person, harden not your hearts. Don't turn away from the call and the pleading of the Spirit of God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let me tell you what the voice of God says, friend. I want to turn you to 2 statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. In actual fact, it's a repeat. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, it says in verse 3 and verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Notice what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He says, except ye repent. Here's a message for every young person. Here's a message for every unsaved soul in Ballymoney tonight. Except ye repent. Oh, may God separate you from the crowd. Oh, may God take you away from everyone else around you. Forget about the woman. Forget about the man. Forget about the person sitting beside you. It's you and God, friend. That's the way it's going to be. It's you and God. The Lord Jesus said, except ye repent. The individual person. An individual calling. An individual call of grace. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want to deliver 3 simple thoughts tonight before we finish. And the first one's this. Thank God there is true repentance. There is, thank God, real salvation, genuine conversion. Men and women can be gloriously, wonderfully, and eternally saved by the grace of God. You see, some people feel that as long as you're sorry for sin and somehow tell God that you're sorry for sin, that that's all that matters. And so every day you can tell God you're sorry for sin and go back to your sinning, and you can say the Lord's Prayer, or you can go through your rituals, and somehow you can go out and live like you like, and you can live like the devil, but as long as you say, God, I'm sorry. Then let me tell you this, that's not repentance. For repentance, it's much more. It has been so sorry that there is a change of mind. To think differently about your sin and changing your direction. You turn from your sin and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because when there is a true repentance, listen, there's a, first of all, there's a sense of sin. There is a sense of the awfulness of sin. There is a sense of the wickedness of sin. When you realize your sin separates between you and God. Friend, listen to me carefully. You can have your sin. But your sin will separate you from God for all eternity. Because God hates sin. He has a purer eye than to behold sin. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ became sin for us. And you hear the cry in the darkness of the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Dear friend, I'll tell you, if you die in your sin, you'll be forsaken by God for all eternity. as you go to a Christless and unending hell. You cannot trust Christ as your Savior without having a change of mind over your sin. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says he is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But thank God, I'm glad tonight I can stand in this pulpit and say, your sins can be forgiven. Your sins can be blotted out. Your past, God can take your past, and He can put it into the sea of His forgetfulness. Hallelujah! Never to be remembered against you anymore. Oh, the devil will rake it up. But thank God, God's pardoned it. God has put your sin into the sea of His forgetfulness. Thank God there is real, true repentance. Thank God if you repent, you'll be saved. You'll be pardoned. You'll be forgiven. Turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, quickly a moment. In Luke's chapter 18 and verse number 10, it says this: two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. And the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. Notice it says he's prayed with himself. This wasn't a God friend. He was just praying to himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He threw himself on the mercy of God, friend. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or the word is, the sinner. As if he was the only sinner in the world. He felt the load of a sin. He felt the burden of sin. He felt the sense of a sin. He had a sorrow over his sin. And he came to God, friend, and he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. What does the word of God say? Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down into his house justified, just as he never had sinned. For thank God, he repented and was converted. There is genuine salvation. There is genuine repentance. We haven't time tonight, but Luke Gospel chapter 15 is a lovely picture of the repentant sinner. It's the story of the prodigal son. And you remember the prodigal son, he left home. He sinned against love. He turned his back on his father. He couldn't wait till he got out. He couldn't wait to get into the far country. Why? Because his heart was already there. My, he just longed to get freedom. One day, friend, after spending everything and wasting his life and riotous living, sinful living, immoral living, the Bible says he was sitting down at an old hog pen. Way down in the depths. He was there in the gutter, as it were. And he came to himself and he acknowledged before God, how many hard servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He thought about home. Then he said this, I will arise and go to my father. You see, friend, if you only saw your awful, sinful state without seeing the Father's love, what a tragedy. And here he saw his awful state, sitting down at that old hog pen. He had gone into the depths. And he thought about a Father's love. Let me tell you, friend, God so loved you, and God so loved me, that He gave His darling Son. He sent Him to the cross of Calvary to shed His precious blood that you and I might be redeemed. And this young lad says, I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Then let me tell you, he wasn't saying, I'll go home, remember. Dad owes me something. Not at all, friend. He said, I'll arise, and he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. I'm glad the Bible says, and he arose. And he came to his father. What he found? He found the father was waiting for him. All the time. I spoke to a wee man on the last Saturday of August. And he's in his 80s. And when I was away on holidays, I heard about this wee man getting saved. And I wanted to speak to him because I've known him all these years. And I went to him and I was speaking to him, and he says, "Andy, I'm delighted to hear you've got saved." He says, I must confess, he says, "I can't understand why I didn't come years ago. I've just wasted so many years." Friend, let me tell you, there is a pardoning God. There is a Savior ready to save. If you come tonight by simple faith and rest your soul upon what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, praise God, He'll save you. There's not a doubt about it. He'll save your soul. He says, "Him or her that cometh to me," he says, "I will in no wise cast out." Yes, thank God, there is true repentance and real salvation. And you can experience that tonight. Why are you sitting in your sin pit? Why are you still in your sin, young person? Why? God, some of you sitting for years and you've sat on our faithful gospel preaching in this church and you're still unsaved, friend. Close your eyes in death tonight. You drop into hell itself to burn in the fires of hell. We were speaking about it on Friday evening, friend. Listen, I beg you in God's name, take your place as a sinner. Humble yourself. Come down out of the tree, the Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Come on down, Zacchaeus. Some of you got to get out of the tree tonight. Tree of pride. Rotten, stinking pride. Some of you got to get out of the tree of religion. For you're stuck with religion. You're stuck with churchianity from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. And you're resting upon the church. Oh, I'm connected with such and such a church. I want to tell you this, friend. The church will never take you through the pearly gates. Christ is the only way. You can have dead formal religion and you'll die without Jesus Christ and you'll be lost for all eternity. But thank God there is a Savior from all sin. You can be gloriously, wonderfully, eternally saved by the sovereign grace of God. That's good news tonight. You don't have to stay in your sin. You don't have to stay in your sin. I was reading about the senators in the United States some years ago, and there was a vice president of the United States. His name was Coolidge. And this vice president was sitting there in the Senate and he was in the chair. And some senator turned to one of his others and he lost the head and he told one of the other senators to go to hell. And the senator, he pleaded to Coolidge and he said, "Vice President, do you not hear what he said?" The vice president was reading, I don't know what book he was reading, but he's turning over the leaves listening, was supposed to be listening to the debate. And he turned to the senators and said these words, "I've read the book. You don't have to. You don't have to. Men and women, you don't have to go to hell. The devil will want to damn you. The devil will want to take your soul to the depths of hell. And you'll be lost in a crisis eternity. But glory to God, you don't have to go to hell. Christ has died. There's a mighty Savior. There's a risen, exalted Savior. Thank God He's at the Father's right hand. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered sin. Thank God He has paid the price for the sinner's release. And thank God He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Yes, there's true repentance and real salvation. Here's a second thought. Whilst there's true repentance, there's also false repentance, which leads not to salvation. You see, friend, let me tell you, the Bible says, let me quote the verse again, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation." Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're sitting in this meeting, and all you're relying upon is a profession. You say, "When I was a child, I signed a wee decision card." Friend, that's all you have. And if I was to ask you the way to heaven, you'd search through your belongings to try and get your wee decision card where you signed your card. Friend, that's all you have. Lord, pity you. If you're relying on something away back then and you do not know that your sins are forgiven and your life has never been changed. When Jesus comes into my heart, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. When Jesus comes into my heart, has your life been changed? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And I'll say this tonight, and I'll say it solemnly. If there's no change, there's no salvation. You can have profession, but if you're not changed, if you do not hate the sins that once you loved, If you do not love the things that once you hated. My thank God, whenever you're saved, you love the things of God. You love the Bible. You love the house of God. You love the fellowship of God's people. You stand amazed and say, I never believed I'd ever love those things. I want to say, that's the work of grace. Friend, that's the work of God. I tell you, the Lord wants to change you tonight. You need change, man. You don't need to continue on in your sin. You must forsake it and turn to Christ. It's turning from, but glory to God, it's turning to. You're turning to Jesus. But if there's no change, oh yes, you can say, God, I've sinned. Still go to hell. Turn your Bibles back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 9. The Old Testament. Exodus chapter 9. The book of Exodus, look down at verse number 22. It's a story about Pharaoh. It's a story, my friend, let me tell you, of the plagues that God says. Remember old Pharaoh looked at his fist and he said to Moses, Moses says, God has told me that you're to let my people go to serve him. And Pharaoh says, who's this God you're talking about? Who is this God that I should serve him? I can hear the arrogance of him. And see him rising up. Who is this God? Without a sneer in his face. I want to tell you, before God was finished, he found out who God was. And I say to any sinner in this meeting, don't you try and defy God. Don't lift your fist to God and challenge him to say, who are you, God? You'll not break me. I want to tell you, God's too powerful for you. Don't you mock God. Remember a little verse in God's word, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're coming to the harvest. Let me tell you, whatsoever a man sows, sow to sin, friend, you'll reap the harvest. You'll reap the harvest of your sin and the whirlwind of a judgment. Now let's go to chapter 9. Go to verse 22. It says in Exodus chapter 9, verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven. There may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout all the land. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, verse 26, only the children of Goshen, or the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Now mark verse 27. And Moses sent and called for Moses and Aaron, or Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Now you say, that's a good confession. My, this man has been broken. This man has been broken. He cries out, I have sinned. Verse 28, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thundering and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Friend, that is very good. But you know, let me tell you, the Bible tells us that God stopped the hail and God stopped all of this. But look at verse 34. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. He hardened his heart, friend. He sinned yet more. You see, it wasn't a genuine repentance. Oh yes, he said, I've sinned. But let me tell you, all he was wanting, friend, was getting out of the mess he was in. All he was wanting was God to take away the heel, God to take away the fire, God to take away the trouble, God to take away the plague. He wasn't wanting to turn to God. No, he just wanted God to make it easy for him. You know, men and women have come to the preacher over the years and have said, preacher, in the midst of their trouble, they said, you pray for me, and they make a profession of faith in Christ, friend. But let me tell you this. All they wanted was God for to remove the trouble. They were in a mess. Their back was against the wall. Oh God, have you just intervened? God, have you removed this? God, have you healed my daughter? God, have you... you healed my son. God, have you healed me? I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life then. Let me tell you, there wasn't a word of it. All it was, God removed the plague. Not the sin. You see, there can be a confession. He said, I've sinned. But there was no change. It wasn't pardoned. And friend, tonight you can have a form of godliness. You can have a profession. You can have religious thoughts. And all of these things. All Pharaoh wanted was, God, take the pressure off. And give me a bit of rest. It wasn't he repented. You see, there can be a false repentance. And I say to you honestly before God, friend, don't you play phony with God. Don't play around with God or the things of God, friend, because let me tell you, remember the verse I quoted, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God removed the plague. But it says this, and when the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, until the day came, friend, when God hardened his heart. It was all over. Don't play loose with God, friend. Don't play loose with the opportunities God's given you in this mission. Don't you think that you can ask God, just stay around, God, for me. And as I quoted the verse, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. God, when I'm in trouble, whenever I'm just about to step into God's eternity, God, I really want my sin, but God, I realize at the last, I need to slip into heaven. No, friend. That's not real repentance. Remember Judas Iscariot. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, tells us a story about Judas Iscariot. And you know, there in that passage of God's Word, it tells us in verse number 3, Judas, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And he went out and he hanged himself. And the Bible tells us in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, he went to his own place. He went to hell. But did he not say, I've sinned? Yes, he did. Did he not say, I've sinned? Yes, he did. Here was a man who traveled with Jesus. He sat in the very presence of Christ. He sat among the disciples. He got on the boat. He shared conversations with the blessed master himself. He listened to him preach. He saw him heal all of these things. And yet his heart wasn't changed. You see, in his heart he was a thief. And he was the one that held the bag. And that's your fact. You know that Judas Iscariot was one of the most trusted members of the whole of the disciples. They gave him the bag. You remember when the Lord Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Not one of the disciples says, Lord, is it Judas? Not one. They said this, Lord, is it I? They doubted themselves more than they doubted Judas Iscariot. But let me tell you, friend, Jesus says, one of you is a devil. And you can have profession, friend, but if you haven't God's salvation, let me tell you, there's something else about Judas Iscariot. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Bible says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood flowing down to the ground. And then marching into the Garden of Gethsemane came Judas and the soldiers. I see the bitty drops of sweat and blood on the brow of Christ. Running down his cheeks. Judas Iscariot said this, "The one that I kiss." Hold him fast. And Judas Iscariot walked up to Christ, friend, and in front of those hard soldiers, Judas Iscariot put his arms around Jesus and he kissed him. That night he kissed him again and again on the cheek. So was there for, this is him. This is him. Listen to me carefully. What did I say was running down from the head? He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Judas Iscariot had the blood of Christ on his lips, but not in his heart. And friend, you can talk right if you will. And you can make a profession. And you can fool others sitting around you. But if your heart is not right with God, then I say to you in God's name, run to the cross. Run to Jesus tonight. You need God's salvation. You need a real work of grace in your heart. Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He's the door to heaven. Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven. And yet he went to hell. I don't know about you, friend, but I think that's awful serious. And some of you have sat in gospel meetings, friend, and I'll tell you this. You've even shaken under the Spirit of God's speaking voice to your heart. And you've been like Felix, you've trembled. And you've been like Agrippa, almost persuaded. But you've gone out through the door night after night, friend. And I'll tell you this, you've turned your back on the Christ of Calvary. And you've loved your sin rather than the Savior. Here's my last thought tonight. But there's also repentance too late. Too late. You read the story in Genesis chapter 3, or Genesis chapter 6, the story of Noah. And you remember God told Noah that he was going to send a flood. God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and grieved God to his heart. And God said, "I will destroy man whom I have made." And God said, "I'm going to send a flood." Now Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Noah built that ark at the command of God, and as he was building the ark, friend, he preached the word of righteousness. The people would come along and watch him and say, "No, Noah, what are you doing today?" He says, "I'm building the ark. What are you doing that for? We've never seen rain." Must be some kind of a fool, Noah. God said that I'm going to send a flood. So he built the ark. And then one day, friends, something happened. Noah was no longer hammering. The ark was built. The 120 years had passed. And something strange started to happen. Because the people see animals coming from here, there, and yonder. Now I want to tell you this. The animals came into the ark, but I'll tell you, Noah did not go out and gather them. God brought them in. That's what the Bible tells us. God brought them in. And then God said to Noah something. He says, "Noah, yet 7 days." Just 7 days more. I can see some man walking up and saying, "Mr. Noah, you're not building today. What's wrong? What's all the animals doing? What's happening, Noah?" He said, "God's sending the flood. And God has said to me, yet 7 days." "Do you not see the signs of the times, Noah?" says to the people. "Do you not see? God's bringing the animals in. I'm not bringing. God's bringing them in. The judgment's coming." Friend, do you not see the signs of the times around you? The Lord's coming again. Signs of the times are everywhere. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We live in a pleasure-crazed age. The signs of the times are already. Do you not see the signs of the times? And you're the same. He's coming.
But it's saying something else. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. You need to be ready. And the animals finally got into the ark, and then God said, Noah, come in. And I see Noah and his family walk up that ramp into the ark. And God shuts to the door. Noah didn't pull the door behind him, friend. No, this was all of God. Because God's sovereign in all things. And God shut to the door. And shut Noah in. It's a big drop. Daddy, what's that? What's that? Another drop comes. And the rain starts to fall. They've never seen this before. And I see a little one say, Daddy, is that what Mr. Noah talked about? Oh, don't be foolish, son. The rain falls. Oh, they hoped it would finish, friend. 40 days, 40 nights. And the waters are rising. I hear a little boy say, Daddy, would we not need to get to that big boat out there? For there's no place of safety. And finally, friend, they make their way. And they run up the ramp. And they hammer the door. Mr. Noah, let us in! Let us in! But there's no answer. Noah couldn't open that door, friend. God shut it. 120 years God's servant preached. Noah thought him was a fool. Maybe you've walked in and out of the meetings this past 2 weeks, friend. Maybe you thought that preacher ranting up there in the front of that pulpit is mad. I want to tell you this. Very possible that some man or woman will go to hell from this church meeting house. With the gospel in their ears. Then shall ye call. Listen to me carefully. But I'll not answer. Ye shall seek me. But you'll not find me. Because the door's shut. Do you remember the story of the virgins? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And they came knocking on the door and they said, open unto us! And the bridegroom said, I know you not. And you can be in a service like this tonight, friend. And you can die in your sin and go out into eternity, down into hell. And down in hell, let me tell you, like the rich man, you'll cry, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't listen. I'm sorry I didn't come. I'm sorry I let the appeals pass. I'm sorry, God, I refused. But friend, it's too late. Too late. I told you that on Friday night, the rich man in hell, he made 3 prayers. Never heard of him praying before, but down in hell he prayed. Tell me, will you cry too late? Let the mission pass. How many times has he called before? Yet he stands outside the door. And yet you turn and you walk away. Some other time, God. But not today. The There was a preacher and evangelist in the United States. His name was Sam Sparks. He was holding a gospel campaign. And after 3 weeks, the mission came to an end. And he said he did something he never did in all his life. He said there was such a quietness and stillness, the Spirit of God was moving in that meeting. You could have felt the very heartbeat of men and women. And God was really speaking. And he felt so burdened that he went down to the back of the church when he was making the final prayer, and he begged the congregation not to leave their seats until they were sure that they were right with God. Stood down at the door. And he begged them not to leave. He said near the back was two beautiful teenage girls. And as he was standing there, and every head was bowed and every eye was closed, the girls lifted their purses and their jackets. And they slipped out to the door. He was standing at the door. And Sam said, I did something I felt so burdened that I have never done in my life before. I held my arms out across the doors as these two young girls came running down to me with their jacket and their purse in their hand. And I begged them. I said, in God's name, don't leave. You're right with God. He said, one of the young girls, they juked onto my left arm. And the other girl juked under my right arm. And they turned to me and they said this, we know that you're sincere, preacher. And you know, we were talking together. We were just talking earlier. We're going to get right with God. But you know, we're going to have a dance tonight. And our boyfriends are waiting for us down in the car park. They're going to collect us outside the car park. But we promise you, we'll come back another night. And we'll get right with God. And then they turn and they give him a little wave. Night's out. He said, down from the church, there were steps down to the car park. And outside, there was a big wall around the car park. And there was a hill up there that led to other estates. And the young girls went out to meet their boyfriends outside the car park. And little did they know. But there was a drunk driver came down around the corner and lost control of the car. And came down to where the two young girls were standing waiting for their boyfriends with their jackets and their purses in their hand. And he pinned them against the wall. And all I could hear was a scream. And the crash. He said, we ran out that night. And those two lovely teenage girls, they were dead. He said, I stood over the door. I've never done it before. I held out the arms. And I begged them to get right with God. He said, they just took down under. By Sam. And it was goodbye. Forever. Then a woman, God has given 2 weeks of gospel meetings here. And some of you have come night after night, and some of you have come certain nights, but God's been speaking. Tell me, are you going to walk through the door tonight unsaved? How do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? I beg you in God's name, don't play loose with God. For except ye repent, you'll all likewise perish.
May God save you.